The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, one of the first calls that the newly elected Prime Minister Keir Starmer made on Friday was to Taoiseach Simon Harris, as the relationship that's shared between the British and Irish government is considered by both men very unique and very important. Well, to look at that relationship in a bit more depth, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by the British Ambassador to Ireland, Paul Johnston. Paul, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
It's been a very interesting couple of days since Keir Starmer finally, you know, acceded to power and took over the helm there at Downing Street. And he's off to a good start. Himself and Hilary Benn, the Northern Ireland Secretary, certainly know Northern Ireland and by extension Ireland very well. But we'd all have to concede that there's been a very difficult relationship over the past number of years with successive Tory governments. So beyond the diplomatic efforts that they've been very good at in the initial days, how did they go about building an architecture, a structure to repair that relationship to try and make it more meaningful between both governments going forward?
So I think both governments at the highest level, the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister, have talked about the need for a reset. And I think there's a shared sense that when the relationship really works, it works on a basis of partnership and trust and transparency. And people talk about the relationship between Tony Blair and Bertie Ahern, most obviously at the moment of the Good Friday Agreement, but I think throughout the 10 years that they shared in power, but also between David Cameron and Enda Kenny in the period immediately before the Brexit referendum. So I think there's a strong sense on our part, as you say, that these are people at the top of government, officials and politicians who know Northern Ireland, who know about Ireland, who care about the relationship, want to repair some of the damage, and I think who accept that, as I've said publicly, Brexit was a structural shock to the relationship, and it means that we're no longer seeing our Irish counterparts at European councils, at ministerial meetings, at official meetings. So we've got to find structures and we've got to find ways of working which knit us together again, because there's so much that matters to the relationship, not just in terms of Northern Ireland, but that wider bilateral relationship. And I've been struck talking to Irish ministers and officials and to my own team, that it's that breadth of ambition to have us working together on everything from climate to nature to energy to foreign policy, cyber security. And the Foreign Secretary expressed that in his phone call to the Taoiseach on Friday night, where he said, I don't want this to be a relationship that's just defined by Northern Ireland. It needs to be a broad-based and load-bearing relationship. And I think that's an ambition that both sides share. So it's very positive.
Beyond the Northern Ireland relationship, one of the big things that the British government have to do is to reset themselves on the world stage, I guess, as well. We're a good conduit to do that as well, because we remain in the European Union. But just looking at that international objective that they've set out for themselves, what, in your view, he said he's not going to make any attempt at rejoining the EU, but what are the steps he's going to try and take to try and integrate himself back into that sort of big EU system?
So I've come to this interview just from listening to the Foreign Secretary's initial meeting with the Foreign Office staff. And one of the points he emphasised was that both he and Keir Starmer are lawyers by background. So that commitment to international law, to the rule of law, to the rules-based international order. So strong support for the UN, strong support for NATO and its resistance to Russian aggression in Ukraine, which we've seen another horrible example today. So tomorrow, after swearing his oath of allegiance to the King in the House of Commons, the Prime Minister will set off to the NATO summit in Washington, which is partly a 75th anniversary summit, but it's also very much a forward-looking summit. And he'll be there to say that whatever differences he had with Rishi Sunak over various areas of domestic and some international policy, there will be strong bipartisan consensus on support for Ukraine, and the British government will continue the previous government's approach of steadfast support for Ukraine, and all of that in the context of the defence of international law. So I think there will be proposals coming from us for a new and ambitious security pact with the European Union. There will be a steadfast commitment to NATO. There will be efforts to reinvigorate the United Nations, particularly to close the gap between the global north and the global south. And I think you'll see a lot of energy and ambition coming out from the government, including on the existential and biggest challenge of our time, the climate crisis as well. Mm-hmm. And in all of those areas, we see the absolute value of working very closely with Ireland, because our interests and our values are so identical, I would say.
Mm. Just turning back home again, I want to look at the legacy bill, because this is something that Labour have made a commitment to within their own manifesto. Do you see them sticking to that? And is there any time frame? Because that also caused a lot of bad feeling between all of the parties in Northern Ireland, and the Irish government were, as they say, forced into the action of a legal challenge.
Exactly. So the government's new legislative programme will be set out in the King's Speech on the 17th of July, which will be the same day as the Taoiseach is invited
to
dine.
Which is interesting in itself.
And I think that is a signal, a very clear signal of the priority that's been given to the relationship. The Prime Minister will be hosting 50 European leaders the next day at Blenheim Palace. He's chosen one of them, the Taoiseach, to have dinner with the night before. But on the Legacy Act, the government has been clear that it needs to be substantially, fundamentally changed. The architecture of the legacy proposals needs to be changed. The Irish government have brought their interstate case. We will now look very seriously at all the points that have been raised in that. And we want to address not just the substance of the point that the Irish government has made, and indeed the communities have made in Northern Ireland. We also want to address the concerns about method, i.e. we want to do this in an inclusive way, working in partnership with the Irish government. The Labour Party's manifesto said they want to go back to the principles of the Stormont House Agreement, which was the deal reached with Ireland back in 2012. Now, things have moved on in the last 12 years. We have the Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery in place, but legal challenges domestically and the Irish challenge in the European Court of Human Rights have focused on shortcomings, and we want to look at those head on, and we want to find solutions working with our friends in Dublin and find something that commands support across communities in Northern Ireland.
Mm. You've been writing in today's Irish Examiner about that. I actually picked out that piece about the Stormont House Agreement being the basis on which you return to the principles. Why is that? Is that because it's the last consensus?
Exactly. It's where the two governments agreed in 2012 how they would take this forward. Now, the previous government said that things had moved on since then, raised some important questions about how deliverable Stormont House was. I think there was some understanding, and there is still understanding on the Irish side, that it's probably not just going to be a cut-and-paste job, that we'll take the 2012 agreement and seek to implement it exactly as it is today. But our government, our new government, has been clear that the principles that infused Stormont House, both the substance and the process, are what they want to take as a starting point. But they want to do this in lockstep with the government here, and obviously in consultation with all the parties in Northern Ireland, to find something that has a broad base of support, that addresses the real challenges and opportunities we have today in terms of reconciliation, information recovery, criminal justice, civil inquests, inquiries, the whole panoply of tools to address reconciliation. But the important thing is that we do it in a way that commands support and confidence north, south and east, west.
Mm, obviously important to keep those institutions up and running no matter what, and consensus definitely the thing that drives that. I'd like to turn to Casement Park, because I was interested that Hilary Benn said this was the big ticket item on his agenda, perhaps because, as he said himself, this is now an extra time. Really, the issue around this is timing and pricing. Do any idea when we have a final figure on that, and whether or not you really believe that this is doable in the time that we have to comply with the UEFA standards that are required for this stadium?
There's a very strong will to see it happen, self-evidently. The government feels that the co-hosting by the United Kingdom and Ireland of the European Championships in 2028, with hopefully as many as possible of the nations concerned taking part, including the Republic of Ireland and Scotland, I would say, that will be a great thing for the relationship and a great thing for sports fans across these islands. Almost all of the other stadia are already well advanced and will be in place. Casement Park is the one with the question mark hanging over it. There's a strong political will to see what can be done, to see if we can meet both the cost challenge and the timing challenge. You've rightly identified the two key parameters. I can't preempt the internal discussions that are going on, but I know that the new ministers are looking very carefully and very quickly at what can be done. They want to discuss that with the Irish government, with all the parties in Northern Ireland, the executive in particular, with the GAA. But I think there's a real will to see if we can do the right thing and do it on time and on budget as well. None of those things are easy, but there's a real will to look at it and see if we can make it all add up.
You mentioned two things there, the political will and budget. And when it comes to the political will, I do think there is a definite sense that with this new administration, they want to do better. They want to repair the relationship. There's a lot of political commitment there. But of course, it all comes back to money. Mm-hmm. And we've heard Hilary Benn calling out the fact that per capita, actually, Northern Ireland is the most expensive of the regions of the UK. So big warnings there that they can't expect a lot of money to come with this relationship building. When he specifically talks about tackling public services and stuff, what exactly is he talking about when it comes to Northern Ireland?
So I think there's two things there. One is that Northern Ireland, because of the Windsor framework, the access to the EU single market as well as to the UK internal market, is very well placed to attract inward investment and growth and high-tech jobs. And now that we have the Assembly and the Executive up and running, we want to see a plan developed for the sort of medium term, 5 to 10 years, to really capitalise on Northern Ireland's advantages. But it's true also that Northern Ireland has a higher level of subvention of financial support from the UK government than any other part of the UK. That's in some respects due to the particular circumstances of Northern Ireland. But I think there's also a sense which the previous government had as well in relation to getting to a sustainable financial and fiscal position, that the executive in Northern Ireland needs to look at areas where it can raise money to get into a more, you know, a more balanced position, whereby through greater growth in Northern Ireland, but also through more sustainable public finances, the balance between what the UK government contributes and what is raised locally, both by businesses and by sector, is balanced out.
This could mean things like water charges, perhaps.
It could mean a range of things. The previous government issued a consultation document and basically asked the executive and the Assembly to look hard at this. The Secretary of State, in his first meetings with the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister, has underlined this. There's a transformation board which has been established to look at how you can transform public services and their financing across Northern Ireland. So it's not an easy agenda. There will be some difficult decisions required, but I think it's a really important thing because people in Northern Ireland have the right to expect a functioning executive and assembly, which they have now, but also real improvements in public services.
Mm. Ambassador, you've been here how long now? How long since you?
It will be 4 years in September.
Okay, so this new change of administration now, do you really sense that there's a different dynamic going to happen? And just trying to get your sense of what the mood music is in the UK in the aftermath of this election. We know that this isn't a Tony Blair type election, but is there a sense of optimism now in the UK that this might, you know, be a turning point?
I think with any change of government, and particularly when a new government comes in with a very big majority, I think in the civil service, there's always that, irrespective of people's personal views, there's a professional sense of this is exciting moment. We get the chance now to help a new team deliver their objectives. I wouldn't be able to say really in the public as a whole. I think there's a sense of, I think people wanting to give the new government the benefit of the doubt, however they voted. I think I've seen opposition leaders, including the former Prime Minister, the former Foreign Secretary, saying, you know, what you achieve will be our success. We are we're already in a world that's more complex and contested than ever before. If you look at China, if you look at Russia, if you look at the rise of populism and intolerance. So I think liberal democracies like ours and Ireland, you know, have a lot of tricky water to navigate together. And I think there's a sense that the new government should get new support and understanding. People will be, you know, impatient for change, but I think the most impatient person for change will probably be the new Prime Minister. You know, he's made that his mantra. He's changed the Labour Party. He wants to change the way Britain is governed and change people's experience of government. And, you know, they're off to a fast and pacey start. And I think they enjoy a broad measure of goodwill from people who want to see them succeed.
Yep, I certainly think that's the case here in Ireland, and we wish them well in their endeavours. But thank you very much. That was the British Ambassador to Ireland, Paul Johnson. Thank you for coming in studio.
Thanks so much, Mandy.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.